Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Here in the Northern Rockies, dark winter months are outlasted in basements, dens, and nooks where kindred souls gather together to share intel, swap fly patterns, and relive the memories from seasons past. This gathering spot, known locally as the February Room, is the inspiration for this podcast. No matter the season, the door is always open to those with a fly fishing story to tell. Brought to you by CD Fishing USA, the North American distributor for composite development fly rods and accessories. 40 years of Kiwi ingenuity and graphite technology now available at cd-fishing.us or your local CD USA dealer. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook. And remember to go fishing. Here's your host, the Carnops, and this is the February Room.
Pandemics, climate change, cancellations, and inflation. Like all the other working professionals, fishing guides are navigating the roughest waters ever. My guest today provides a throwback for hardworking guides and outfitters struggling to stay afloat. Molly Simpkins, welcome to the February Room.
Hi, thanks. I'm waving at you, but you can't see me.
I'm waving back. You know, I think that statement's very true. These past 2 years I think that's a great analogy. It's been some rough waters, and we are going to go in more depth about a nonprofit that is going to change the lives of, I'm hoping, a lot of guides, outfitters that are tuning in. But before we go into that, let's hear a fishing story.
Okay. So I have a lot.
Well, you should also say you're in Bozeman, so of course you have a lot of fishing stories.
Well, I actually moved over to Livingston in May, so I'm literally like 4 miles from where I work now, which is lovely. But I am like in the epicenter of fishing in Montana. But most of my stories, or most of my best memories, involved my family. Because my brothers and I, and when my father passed, my father was with us. He passed away a few years ago. Every year we try and take a trip together, whether it's in the Midwest or in the mountains or in Florida or Louisiana. We went to Mexico last year. So every year we try to do something. But one of the most memorable, and oh great, I'll start off with tears, was in December of 2020. And my brothers and I had planned a trip to Venice, Louisiana, where we have some wonderful friends in Mike and Lori Fournette, and they have a lodge there in Venice. And for years, we have been going down there with our father, and he passed away in 2019. Wow. And so this was our first trip without him. And it was just the three of us, no friends, no girl or boyfriends, just the three of us. And there was nothing about it that wasn't perfect. There was no wind. We were catching fish like crazy and giant ones. And I finally said to Mike, I said, I've been coming down here for years and I got to catch my first red on the fly, which I did. But one of the most incredible parts about this story, and there's a video that he put together with this. But we are going in on the last evening and the sun was going down. And we look up in the sky and there are two rainbows.
Wow.
And we stopped and we lost our mother about 30 years ago. So we're like, oh my God, it's our parents. And Mike, the moment wasn't lost on Mike either, because my father being with him was always one of his favorite times. So that was one of my most memorable fishing experiences.
Wow.
And it always will be. Yeah, it was pretty special. Oh, gotta gather myself here.
There's something about that we obviously can't understand what happens when the time comes for us to go to the other side. And it's interesting, that memory that you just told me about reminds me of my husband had a really close friend that passed away, and he used to go elk hunting in this one specific spot every year with him. And it was the first year we were going to go elk hunting in that spot without his buddy. And no joke, we're about to hit the trail and a bird lands on my husband's head. Yeah.
Oh, stop
lands
it.
On his head. And it's not like he just landed on it and went away. He just kind of stood there on my husband's head. And I thought the same thing. I was like, you know, is that like, you know, our buddy just being like, yeah, enjoy your elk hunt. I wish I was going out there with you.
Yeah. It's, you know, yeah, it's profound. I mean, I have two brothers that, and it's not lost on us how absolutely fortunate we are that we've been able to mm-hmm. say goodbye to both of our parents. So, you know, for them to show their way, to display themselves in that way.
And on that note, you know, like going through such hard times and having the water be a place of like, you know, to reflect on the things mm-hmm. and the good memories, that is so important. And honestly, that is, let's dive into it. Let's talk about this organization that you are the executive director of, both the Outdoor Guide Association and the Guide Relief Program. And like we said, mm-hmm. there is a lot going on in these past 2 years that I can only imagine has been mentally, financially straining. And let's talk about how did these organizations come to light?
Sure. I mean, it's interesting. Over my life, I think everything I've done over my life has brought me to this point. I worked in broadcasting for 20 years and rose from an intern to a director of operations for a region. So I learned about budgeting and, I mean, everything that comes along with it. And then I hopped over into the nonprofit sector and found my passion for fundraising and development. And then I found Casting for Recovery, which melded the two things I loved. And then I've landed at Sweetwater Fly Shop in Livingston just over 4 years ago. And in doing so, I took over the outfitting and the booking of trips. And that's when I learned how incredibly difficult and demanding mm-hmm. guiding can be. And people have asked me over the years, are you a guide? I'm like, absolutely not.
You couldn't pay me enough to be a guide.
Yeah, that is correct. I will raise money for you. I will do events. I will book your trips, but I'll be damned. I will not be a guide because
it's so hard.
Really hard. So, so hard. And people just don't see what goes into it. You know, they don't see, and you know, because your husband is a guide, that they're up incredibly early getting ready for the day. It's a hard job, not just physically, but you know, you're dealing with some variables like weather and flow, and God forbid you get a inhospitable client, which happens.
Right.
So it's really difficult. And then when COVID hit in March of 2020, I'd say, my boss, Dan Jagone, who owns Sweetwater, sent me a text, which I still have. And it says, do you think we could raise money for guides who are losing income? I'm like, absolutely. So off I went. And the first person I gauged was Kinsley, who we all know and love, a guide in Missoula. I met Kinsley when I lived in Missoula I met her in 2014, probably. And she just struck me at that time as like, this girl is a go-getter. She's smart. She hustles and she gets it. So she was my first. Then we started engaging some other people around the country, around the state, excuse me. Because when you're giving people money, you want to make sure you do it on the up and up and several people are involved. I didn't want people to say, oh, she's giving money just to her guides. I wanted to make sure it was really transparent. So that's what we did. And then when the CARES Act passed, anyone who could get unemployment, and they also changed up the system for independent contractors, such as guides, even hairdressers, to take advantage of that. Plus, you know, an extra few hundred bucks a week. So I didn't feel right raising money for that. So we pivoted at that time. We created the Guide Relief Program and pivoted to help guides navigate unemployment and PPP and EIDL and give them, you know, information on how to access assistance if they needed for rent or utilities or they had food insecurities. And in doing that, I was like, why is there nothing to support these guides in a meaningful way? Now, there are guide associations around the country, and a lot of them are conservation forward, which is fabulous. But we wanted to do something a little different. So we started on our way creating the Guide Relief Program, and also wanted to create something that offered them benefits. But that's a whole nother, that's where the Outdoor Guide Association comes in. So the Guide Relief Program is a 501c3. We're designated with the IRS. We can take donations. But what we have turned into is an organization that supports guides financially with small grants if they're in crisis. And if any guide in the country simply applies and shows proof they are a guide, they will automatically get 2 free months of mental health services. Now, one is independent of the other. So you could do one. You could do the other, you could do both. It doesn't matter. So, you know, we've kind of spent the last 2 years building the organization, and boy, did it come to roost on June 13th.
Yeah, I was just about to say, and I think this, I mean, who would have expected that the amount of like inflation, and then we have a historical flood in the Yellowstone?
Unbelievable. I mean, we were sitting there on shop that Monday morning, and it was me and one of the shop guys and one of the Vermilion boys who works upstairs. Pat came downstairs and he goes, this Corwin Springs is showing like 51,000. We're like, it's broke. It's broken. There's no way that the river is at 51,000. And we started getting reports from upriver that it was indeed true. And we just started batting down the hatches at the shop, took all the inventory off the floor. Pat, I think, is the hero of this story, just tarped and sandbagged the ever-loving hell out of that building. And we got a couple inches in there, but certainly fared much better than many businesses or homes in the area. And then, of course, our guides.
And what I really appreciate about the Guide Relief Program is that, like you said, there's so many programs out there, a lot of it dealing with conservation, which we need to, like, if we're all Absolutely. Using these resources. But to take it into the guide's hands, like, hey, time out. How are you doing? Because I also feel guides have a lot of responsibility, more so than in the past. I'll be talking to guides, and whether there's a lot more people on the rivers, and that is a real struggle, I think, in Montana for fishing guides, is like, I love these waters. Am I abusing these waters? Like,
yep.
Don't you think yeah. that's the truth?
It is the truth. I mean, that's just one of the things that many guides struggle with. You know, the resources we have, you know, we're losing them, not just here, everywhere in the country. The waters are warm, they're low. You know, I have guides come in also, and etiquette, for whatever reason, this season is gone out the window. People rent boats and rafts, and they come back to me every day and they're like, there was 5 rafts just sitting at the takeout or the put in, just partying like, you know, there's no other people. So it's become a real challenge to remain kind and civil.
That's, you know, a good way to put and that.
It really is. It's been, I've not just experienced it, but I've talked to other outfitters and guides elsewhere. And I'm like, are you finding people coming to the rivers this year who are just a little more entitled than ever? And thankfully the number's small, but the answer is yes.
Yeah. And I think what's so great about the Outdoor Guide Association is that sometimes with outfitters and guides, it's kind of like, oh, I know this guide, I know this outfitter. But the Outfitter Guide Association can create an umbrella for all these outfitters to talk with each other. Like, could even figure out, hey, how do we manage this a little bit better? Let's open that conversation.
Yeah. And that is going to be, That's going to be part of the Outdoor Guide Association, which is different yes. than the Guide Relief Program. I know it's brought some confusion to people, but what had happened is as we started building the Guide Relief Program, we wanted to offer these benefits that were never available to guides. But I will say in building any nonprofit, the key is a fantastic attorney. And we have been blessed with a gentleman in Connecticut who is an avid fisherman and understands what I was trying to do and said, listen, you can't do this under one nonprofit because the Outdoor Guide Association is a 501c6, which is a yes. membership organization. So he made it very clear to us that these have to be treated totally separate in the eyes of the IRS and the eyes of everyone. So the Guide Relief Program is the 501c3 that offers support, whether it's financially or with mental health. The Outdoor Guide Association is a 501c6, which offers, in quotes, benefits. So for $50 a year, which I don't know if that's a good business model or not. I guess we're going to find out. Guides
We're all in it together. Hey. Let's just be honest. Guides are more than, they're resilient. They can go through some like figuring out like these little drift and rafts. Like, oh, that water didn't feel that good. Let's go over to the other side. Like, let's keep.
Yeah. So for $50 a year, they can join the Outdoor Guide Association right off the bat. No questions asked. They also get those two free months of mental health services. What happens is once I approve their membership, I upload their email address to our partners at BetterHelp, and they take it from there. I'm out of the process. I don't know if a guide uses it, doesn't use it. I see some, metrics, but that's it. So I'm hoping that confidentiality associated with that prompts some guides just to dip their toes in. I mean, I've used it. It's fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
And then the other part of the Outdoor Guide Association, which we're super proud of, is that for about $204 a year, guides will have access to, I always feel like this is a laundry list, but it's so impressive, free telehealth, discount dental, discount vision, discount pharmacy and vitamins, roadside assistance, global travel, and pet care for $204 a year.
Oh my gosh.
Now, I've used that dental. I was testing it out, and I pay for my dental every month through Delta Dental. Yay.
Yeah.
But I went to my dentist, and I was getting a cleaning, and I said, how much is it through my Delta Dental? And it was $266. That's kind of steep.
Yeah.
And then I gave him my card for our organization. It was $100 less.
Wow.
So it's a real benefit. I mean, it's real. And like, I was looking at it, and it could cover parts of LASIK for your eyes, and it's crazy pants. So the discount health plan really is a benefit we are so super proud of that, guides, not just guides, but for that $204, the guide's wife can get it for same thing for their kids. So any family member at the same address can also take advantage of that health discount program.
That is insane. Because let's also be honest, when you said dog, every guide has a dog. They love to travel to Belize or Florida. I mean, these are the guides they travel to Belize or Florida or Mexico in the wintertime. So these are all things that really encompass what guides do daily. And so I was curious, have you heard of other guides just being like, hey, this is... especially with the Guide Relief Program. I know you guys have done, you raised that money for Yellowstone. Yes. And I know you have already given some money to some shops and guides. How was that reaction?
Yeah. So for anybody who's not aware of it, after the flood hit, a good friend and awesome human, Josh Mills, who at this point, everyone knows, he lives up in Spokane, big steelhead guy, works for Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, has been doing these flies for, hashtag flies for whatever, fundraisers for a couple of years. And he's
flies for flood, yeah.
I don't even know how much money.
Flies for good.
Yeah, so he created flies for Yeah, flies for flood relief for this particular thing. And it just took off. And, you know, you didn't necessarily have to make your donation to the Guide Relief Program. It could have been to the Stafford Animal Health Center here. It could have been to the Greater Gallatin. Could have been to various ones. So he raised over $50,000, over $40,000, which came to us. So one of the things we were very clear of is not we're just going to help guides, but a couple of local nonprofits. So we sent $2,000 to the Red Lodge Area Community Foundation, which, oh my gosh, they just lost so much there as well. And then the Greater Gallatin United Way, which is in turn supporting the Park County Community Foundation here in Livingston. So gosh, that was awesome to do that. And now we have applications coming in for us to allocate funds to guides in the area. So we're getting some traction on that as well.
Wow.
And it's awesome to be able to do that. I mean, these guides in the month of June lost a significant amount of money for canceled trips. Thankfully, in July and August, our bookings are coming in, but June was a tough month, to say the least.
Yeah, absolutely. How do you figure out, Molly, how much someone is going to receive for like June? Say June was a wash and there was a guide who was planning to guide for, you know, 20 days in June and it got washed off. Like, do you give them the full 20 days or how does that work?
Well, what they did, you know, when they're coming in, they are telling us how much they lost. So one gentleman lost $10,000. That is significant.
Of course.
I don't think we could, you know, maybe down the road as we build the Guide Relief Program, we'll be able to actually give these bigger grants, but we're looking at $2,000, $2,500. It's going to depend how many guides apply. We're still getting the word out. This will be helpful. And then we're also asking if they applied. Montana had a short window that any independent contractor could apply for assistance up to $25,000 or 2 months, whichever was less. So we are asking that question as well. Did you apply and have you received assistance? Because we want to make sure that we're equitable and fair and that if someone didn't apply and didn't get assistance through the state, that we can help.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's all. So there's several factors. And then there's a group of us, myself, Kinsley, Josh, Miles Nolte, one of our board members on the Guide Relief Program, are going to vet all of these and then we'll write checks.
Wow. I mean, even $2,500, that can go so far because, you know, living paycheck to paycheck and inflation, like I said, I think guides sometimes get the big burnout and I don't think that they're being mean on the water. I think they love what they're doing because they wouldn't be on the water. But I think there is something where you say when you're waking up at 5 a.m, but then there's hoot owl restrictions. And then, you know, one of the biggest things is sometimes people say they don't care about catching fish. And there's something that happens when you get on that boat, you want to catch fish. And you kind of look at your guide and you get a little bit pissed. And then if you're also with another guide and the other guide is catching fish and you're not catching fish.
Oh
my gosh, Justin. Oh, he takes it personally. He'll come home and he's like,
well, and they do.
He comes home and he's like, I was like, how'd it go fishing? He's like, you know, really good. Great beginner. We took some time to learn about casting, but the other guy on the other boat was just killing it. And, you know, when you're on this other boat, you're like, well, what's wrong with you? It's, you know, I don't think you personally look inside yourself. You're like, what's wrong with you? Why are you giving me the wrong bugs on purpose? And maybe that person doesn't think it, but the guide internally is just like,
oh no,
why is that guy? Is he thinking I'm not, you know, Justin gets in his head too, in those certain situations.
I have, you know, that's been happening. I mean, especially here in the Yellowstone, I can literally tell you, it's just been like 10 days since the water finally cleared up. It has been mucky and murky longer than any of us wanted or hoped or thought it would. And the guides, I mean, most of our guides, they know what they're doing. Not most of them, all of them. What am I talking about? And they know, you know, it's just been terribly difficult this year. Hoppers just started working like a couple days ago. And clients are not keeping it to themselves, sadly.
Yeah.
You know, they're voicing their frustration to the guides and to me and the shop owner. And it's not for lack of trying or knowledge. It's fishing, for God's sakes, people.
Yeah.
You know, and they have my part of my job as the booker is to manage expectations. And I do my very best to say, listen, you know, things aren't normal this year. It's starting to pick up, but I can't promise you that you're going to catch a lot of fish. And I also say, boy, you caught a whitefish. That's the only native Montana fish we have. Yay, you.
I you love know? Whitefish. I don't understand. That was the first fish I ever caught in the fly. And I remember,
for fun.
I didn't even know what you were supposed to call. I mean, it was, you know, this is back in my early days of learning how to fly fish. And I was like, it was in Sun Valley. And I was like walking around and they're like, did you catch anything? Beautiful. And I was like, yeah, I caught myself a whitey. And they were like, wait, what? I was like, yeah, it was pretty nice. It was a pretty good fish. And they're like, what? I kept yeah. calling it a whitey. And they're like, a white fish? I was like, yeah, a white fish. And I just remember everyone was like, Justin was like, oh, people just don't think those are really cool fish. And I was like, what? I mean, I caught it and it looked pretty awesome to me.
Exactly.
What's the deal here? Exactly. Like, Justin's like, just don't. But I like pranced into that bar like, hey, guys. Professional angler over here waving on everybody. Like, I'm a professional fly angler. Caught it on a San Juan worm.
God, that's funny.
That thing is small. Have you seen that San Juan that's worm? Fabulous. That's pretty impressive.
I think it's fabulous. And a lot of guys, I mean, as long as clients know that you might not always catch a brown or a rainbow trout, you might just catch a ton of whitefish, it's still an awesome day. You're on the water, you're in a beautiful place. And a lot of clients get that, especially the newbies. It's the ones that come in with ridiculous expectations that you just can't make happy.
Well,
so, you know.
And especially in Montana, some of these waters, I just, the other last week, I was on the Madison and just went wade fishing and it was chaotic, but it was still so beautiful. But I did have to learn, you know, I feel with fly fishing, I'm starting to like understand like when water is super pressured the way that the Madison is and it is high pressure, these fish are starting to get smarter. And so using some like 5X, you know, I'm like, okay, I guess I'm going to have to like really have a prayer that if a fish gets on this, because there's some big fish there. But yeah, it's understanding those waters. But I think what's great about the Guide Outdoor Association is being an independent contractor, you're independent. But having these associations makes it like, hey, we're part of a bigger group. Like let's band together.
Some of the guides I know, we've had this discussion for the Outdoor Guide Association, because the membership association is just that. We are serving the entire guiding community, not just fly either, conventional as well. You know, if you are I have an ice fishing guide from Wisconsin.
Love
as
it.
A member of the Outdoor Guide Association, right? So one of the things we were talking about during the off season, if there is one, there's certainly one in Montana, is how do we create an online community where we can all get online, something like this or via Zoom, and talk about our challenges. I have a wonderful guide who, this is part of his life, being really aware of his mental health and his physical health and of his fellow guides. I would love him to lead something where these guides could just get together and just let off some steam with each other. I don't need to be involved. Kinsley doesn't need to be involved. Just a bunch of dudes hashing it out. So that's certainly something we're talking about regarding the Outdoor Guide Association. Another thing about the Outdoor Guide Association, other than the health benefits, is that our partners at Cross Current, who supply that health benefit, also supply all our insurance products. So, you know, here in Montana, guides need liability. So they can get that liability through us. And then for a guide who might be a little more forward thinking about his future, he can get accident insurance, disability, or even life insurance. We've had a guide take advantage of that.
Wow.
One of the other things we really want to focus on, my chairman of the Outdoor Guide Association is a finance guy. So we're talking about, how do we build something for financial health? and think about it now. Take that $100 tip and put it away, and then do one of those things like, in 5 years, you'll have this much money. Think about your future if you're 20 or 30 years old and what you're going to do when you're 50 or 60 and how you're going to support yourself. So we're talking about whole holistic health when it comes to the Outdoor Guide Association.
I mean, that makes total sense. If you were going to work at a bank and they gave you, you know, mm-hmm. and you're going to be a teller, they would be like, hey, and if you put this money, this is what this is going to look like. And I think that actually makes absolute sense, because I know having interviewed so many guides, I think there's a point in the guide age where they start thinking, what does my future look like? Can being a guide sustain me for my retirement plans? And I mean, everyone's like, I might have to do something a little bit different. What would that look like? The other thing I think that's super great about what the Outdoor Guide Association does is that you guys create kind of a safety. It says here you do the safety, stewardship, and service programs.
Yep. So we want to grow those. We want to grow those. You know, as part of a 501c6, you have to show what your benefit to the community at large is, right? So not just guides, but the entire community. So if we have guides, I mean, Montana is probably the most buttoned up. I think Wyoming is as well. Many guides in many states, there are no requirements whatsoever. You don't have to have a license. You don't have to have first aid. You don't have to have liability. And I think that is a recipe for disaster.
Oh, absolutely.
So how can we as an association say to guides, you know, if you have first aid and a license, I personally would feel better getting on a boat with you knowing if something catastrophic was going to happen, you know, we would be in good hands. So that's one of our things, is to see how we can make it safer for all guides around the country and their clients and the community. Stewardship. It's so easy. In August 20th here on the Yellowstone, we're doing a major river cleanup. We did one in the spring with the local TU chapter, but after the flood, there is so much garbage everywhere. So Trout Unlimited, there's a couple other organizations that are involved are doing this giant cleanup in August. So if you're not a guide working, maybe join us that day and help us clean up the river. And so that, you know, stewardship, if you want to volunteer your time with the Mayfly Project or Project Healing Waters or Casting for Recovery or any other organization in your town, we encourage that, and we'll even help you find one if there's something you want to do.
Oh, I love that.
So we think that's really important, right? We think that's really important. And as someone who found their philanthropic stride many years ago, really knows how rewarding it could be, even if it's something small in your community. Helping, I mean, have you been on the street when you saw an old man or an old woman who needs assistance? How did you feel after you helped that person?
Yeah.
Gosh, it feels good, right? So if we can help you find something doing what you love in the fishing community, we want to help you do that.
Yeah.
And service is the same thing. You know, we want to be good service and give back to these other organizations. And on the Outdoor Guide Association website, we have a list of organizations that you can help.
Oh, I think it's so.
It's just important.
And I think that also makes, I don't know, I think if you're using the water as a resource to have to bring income for your family, the best thing to say thank you for providing me this is by making it better waters for our future for our future children and generation.
Our water's in bad shape,
man, and it's trying to, I always try and stay a little bit optimistic, especially when it just kind of like, okay, we got some fire starting, we got some flooding.
Yeah, we do.
You know, it feels like the
locust or next
apocalypse is about to happen, but it's not. It's not. We have the guide relief program. We have the outdoor. These are all such great nonprofits. The Mayfly Project, like you were saying, these are all great organizations.
Oh yeah. Cassie Recovery. I mean, they all serve a wonderful purpose.
Yes. That's a great way to say it. They all do serve a great purpose. What do you feel, Molly, that you would like to see in the future for the outdoor? What is your future hopes for these two organizations?
Okay. Well, for the Outdoor Guide Association, we're working to engage members around the country and grow it solidify it. For both organizations, I'll say this right now, I am looking for board members to join us. So I haven't done it yet, but I'll put something on each website. If you or someone in it, they don't have to even be in the fishing industry. If somebody's in the health industry, finance, if you have a passion for fishing or guides, I encourage you to submit yourself or someone else for a board member. So as far as the Outdoor Guide Association is concerned, and I've said this before, we want to strengthen our guide community. And as we get our feet under us and strengthen the organization, our goal and our hope, as I sit here and cross my fingers, is to expand it to other outdoor industries. So if you're a hunting guide, a whitewater guide, a ski guide, snowmobile guide, and whatever you are, there's no reason that you as an independent contractor in the guide industry shouldn't enjoy these benefits, period. So that is a long-term goal for us. Guide Relief Program. Jeez. The Guide Relief.
Ooh, it's a tongue twister too. I have to I have my little list here. The OGA and the GRP.
It does kind of get mishmash. That's why I try to do my very best to make sure that everyone knows they are very different organizations with very different purposes. So the Guide Relief Program, this fundraiser really shed a huge light on it. And so we have more eyes on it than ever. So we want to continue to raise the funds. The money we raised for Flies for Flood Relief is in its own fund. So that is earmarked just for flood funding. But what we do need to do is build the regular fund, the relief fund with donations and gifts. So we really need to build up that fund financially so we can engage guides from around the country that might be in crisis, because that's the whole purpose of it. So getting that up and running, getting solid board members more on board. Our board members have been wonderful in supporting everything we do. So raising money for both organizations is also key. I'm actually just working right now on... we had an auction last fall, November and December, that, you know, was our very first fundraiser, and we raised almost $11,000. So I was pretty proud of that kind of a slapdash auction I put together, and we had some amazing people involved. But I'm getting ready to put it together already for this season, probably in October, because Orvis has become one of our partners, and I would be remiss in not mentioning our partners in this that have come on board. Orvis has committed to a great deal of money for 2022, and we'll be doing a matching gift fundraiser at the end of the year. We'll do our auction in October for the Guide Relief Program. St. Croix has been a partner with us since we started. They are in both organizations. Winston stepped up, Cross Current, of course. One of our initial partners was Sawyer Oars. So partnerships are huge to us, both for exposure and for financial purposes. So, you know, we're always looking for more to come on board and support both organizations in meaningful ways.
Yeah, absolutely. And if these organizations or potential board members want to come on board, do they just reach out to you, Molly?
They can do so. My email address for both is molly@guidereliefprogram.org. And what I'm also going to do, I'm in the midst of finalizing the paperwork if people want to nominate someone. And what I will do is I will put that on both websites. Some people are drawn to the Guide Relief Program more than the Outdoor Guide Association. That's great. That's what we want. If you are someone who has been a guide or, you know, has fished with guides and you want to see them healthy, Outdoor Guide Association. If you are a big fundraiser and you want to support their financial health and mental health, Guide Relief Program's for you. Mix and match, really. Whichever one speaks to you, we are glad to take you.
With that involvement, you can kind of make bigger decisions. You know, I have to say, there's been times where I'm like, why didn't I go to that board meeting about the school? Now I'm having to haul my kids across the other side of the street. And if I just went there and voiced my opinion, I do think about that because sometimes, you know, in a big world where sometimes you feel like your voice cannot be heard or you can't make big decisions, sometimes you're like, well, if I just went to the grassroots, Yep. I could have made a little bit of a difference. And then now you're hauling your kids across the street to the busiest part of the school system. And you just showed up. Maybe you wouldn't be doing that anymore.
It's funny you should say that now that I'm in this position. Well, now that I'm in this position of having two boards and trying to lead them, now I understand when I've been on previous boards, how important that really is.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so super important to be engaged in something that is you're passionate about and that you love, whether it's, you know, either organization or something else. It doesn't take a lot of time or effort, but you can make a huge difference in your life and that of others.
Well, and honestly, I'm not a pessimist, but I have to say that I think that the future will only prove that this organization's going to be needed again and again and again. Yep. I think the world's changing a little bit. The water's changing. It's getting hotter. The people who are going to affect are these independent contractors. And I think it's great that you guys are looking ahead because it's not just fishing guides. It's elk. It's snowmobiles, backcountry. Yes. Like we are all independent contractors, but we are all somehow connected together. And so it's great that these organizations are coming together to provide these resources to navigate these times.
Yeah. And I will say, because it just popped in my head and I read this recently, for Montana guides and independent contractors and outfit, any independent contractor in, gosh, I almost said Miami. Good grief.
You could be a guide in Miami, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I got to tell you, I mean, the Keys has an amazing guide association. Amazing. I don't know why with Miami was in my head, but probably because I'm going there in a couple of months.
Wonderful.
But for Montana, any independent contractor in Montana right now, not unlike during COVID, they're offering unemployment benefits. So if you applied for unemployment during COVID, you could do it again now if you suffered from the floods.
Wow. That is...
I know.
And these are the kind of resources that when COVID happened, nobody knew what to do.
No
guide knew what to do. It was like everyone was so confused.
Everyone. And I got to tell you, I mean, even in the best of times, unemployment is difficult because I've had to do it. For a guide who has never dealt with the red tape of the government, except for getting a license, which is relatively easy, they don't know how to do this. So I feel fortunate that I've had to do it previously. So I had knowledge, but you know, thankfully, because of COVID, this independent contractor unemployment was put in place. So now it's going to be much easier to access that than initially with COVID. And if you did get unemployment through COVID, you'll be doing it the same exact way. Go log into your account and just fill out the paperwork.
I mean, that's amazing. I mean, this is a resource I think every guide should be on board with.
Yes.
And can we give an email, Molly, to the guide relief?
Yeah. So the websites are pretty easy. GuideReliefProgram.org and OutdoorGuideAssociation.org. If you just want to send me an email directly, it's Molly@GuideReliefProgram.org.
And you guys are also on Instagram.
We are on Instagram. We're on the Facebook. We're on LinkedIn. Kind of on Twitter. I'm not a big Twitter person. I'm not a big social media person. That's why Kinsley does most of it.
She's so,
I must say.
Man, wow. I think on her podcast, I think I described her podcast as like the person that wears a lot of hats. I don't know how she's able to.
Yeah, she has a lot of jobs, that one. It's exhausting.
Man, I don't even know when she sleeps, but kudos to her. You know, it's people like you and Kinsley that are just out there making, I mean, to see a problem and be like, you know what, instead of just talking about how I don't understand why this is going on, how do I navigate this, to create a program and step up, because that's what it takes, is somebody just to step up and say, this needs to be fixed and I will do that. That's doing hard things.
We couldn't understand why there wasn't anything like this. And I got to say it again, my boss, Dan Jagone, until we made money, he and his wife supported it financially. I did not take advantage of that. I think it cost me less than $1,000. But honestly, and it never could have been done without their support in every single possible way because they see it all the time too. And, you know, it was Dan saying, how do we raise money for these guides in crisis? That kind of sparked the whole thing, and then leave it to two broads to make it happen. You know,
hell's yeah.
And it's exhausting and it's tiresome and my brain gets muddled. And I just try to say, listen, this is all for the greater good. And, you know, just keep growing and pushing and keep helping as many people as possible.
I mean, as I like to tell my daughter and my son when they get frustrated, I'm like, you can do hard things.
Yes.
Sometimes it's really hard, but you do get to the other side and you made it at the end of the day. And sometimes that's all you can look at, like, well, I did a hard thing today. And even as you get older, we can still do hard things. It's more exhausting.
I said the other day, I don't know how people with children do it. I just don't have the energy now, let alone throw in a bevy of children to make it more difficult. I can't imagine.
It's, you know, I mean, I'm not putting together two nonprofit organizations. That's how I do it, Molly. I don't sign up for two nonprofit organizations. Okay. So
fair enough.
Killing it. Fair enough.
We all have our strengths now, don't we?
I've got a podcast in me.
I just feel very fortunate that, you know, my life starting in broadcasting through nonprofits and now at the shop, all of those things I have learned have brought me to this place and to these two organizations and what I want to do for the rest of my life. This is what I want to do for the rest of my life. Both of these. Period.
Wow, Molly, that is so beautiful. I mean, I think,
thanks.
You know, I'm creeping up to 40 and, you know, still trying to figure out, navigate that. So to be in a place where you're just like, this is what I want to do. That's a beautiful thing. And helping other people. I couldn't imagine a more rewarding way to reflect on your life. Well, Molly, before we sign off, I would love to hear, let's hear another good fishing story.
Oh, a good one. Oh, golly.
A good crazy one, whatever is up your sleeves.
I don't know. I mean, a lot of my stories involve falling.
Oh, I love a good falling story, Molly. The other day, I actually took a slide right into the Madison. I was like, whee! And everybody was there. I was like, meant to do that. Just taking a little dip-a-roo.
I did that last week and I slid down and I ended up just putting my hand on my head like I was posing. Several years ago, I lived in Missoula and I was fishing with a buddy and I was getting in his boat. And as I was getting in his boat, I fell out of the boat. But I think my best story, and if you go to my Instagram page, you'll see this from just over a year ago. I was fishing on the Ruby alone, and I met a couple people that I knew, and they went up to their vehicle. And I said, well, I'll just take another couple casts. And I stumbled over a rock. And the rocks on the Ruby are sharp, and it hit me in the knee, and I thought I broke something. And I get up to my car and I thought I would just drive home in my waders. And I'm like, golly, my knee feels awful hot. So I get home and I knew there was going to be nastiness under there. So I recorded it, of course. And as I pull, and I had liners underneath, and as I pull my waders down, there is a bloody mess. And
oh my gosh.
Pull the other pants down and there is this gash. And it took about five people to say to me, you need to get stitches, before I was like, okay, I'll get stitches. So yeah, I ended up getting four stitches. And even though I won't mention the wader company, there was not even a mark on the waders.
Really?
Not a
it
cut.
Just, it
not
washed
a nick.
All off?
There was not even a cut on the waders.
What?
Yet my knee required 4 inches, four stitches.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Those are some good waiters. It'll be a secret. Maybe we'll just have to go on the Instagram and just see the picture.
Oh yeah, it's a little video of me pulling it down and seeing them, and then a little video of the stitches, and then I treated myself to a root beer float.
Oh, that sounds so delightful. I love a good root beer float. I also love Arnold Palmer's. Those are like my two summer.
Nice.
I love an Arnold Palmer in the summertime, just sitting there, just looking down my Arnie Palmer alert.
That sounds lovely. Oh, Yeah, so, you know, I mean, I've had a lot of great fishing stories, some fabulous fishing pals, and, you know, again, my family. There's nothing fishing like my brothers, because we're kind of all we have. And, you know, those are the best memories.
Well, and I have to agree. Yeah, some of my favorite memories are fishing with my sister, or especially my husband.
Yeah.
We have the best time on the water.
That's great.
Even though sometimes it can be like when the fish is on. Everyone's heightened. It gets a little stressful. And then you come down and then you're like, we still love each other, right?
Well, that's the beauty of it. I mean, fishing, I got to tell you, my best fishing pal and I could not be more different in every single way, politically, religiously, in life. And honestly, we have the best time together because we just don't talk about it. We don't think about it really. We just go out and fish and have the best time and laughs and giggles and falling ever.
Molly, let's make our way once hopefully the Yellowstone can calm down even a little bit more. Let's get on the water together and slip and slide down the Yellowstone.
I would love that. I think that would be an awesome.
I'll make sure I bring the right waders.
That's right.
Go to thefebruaryroom.com where you can access a complete library of our podcast and read more about our guests, their fishing stories, and favorite fly patterns. We're always looking for exceptional fly fishing yarns, and if you have one to spin, shoot us an email at info@thefebruaryroom.com. The February Room is always free, but if you feel like throwing a nickel in the pond, we appreciate any additional listener support. For companies and individuals interested in sponsorship opportunities, please contact us for our media kit. Thanks for stopping by the February Room, and we'll see you down here next week.